Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined in the studio with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing this afternoon, Letitia?
We're doing good.
We are doing good.
We're doing good.
It's been an afternoon session today.
Yes.
You've got a busy Sunday on, so we've picked a different day this week. We're doing Saturday.
Yes, I'm busy all the time. It sucks.
Constantly going and coming and going. And
yeah.
We've got to reschedule and we've had one less day to watch things this week.
We have.
Since last week. It's been a shorter session. What have you been up to this week?
Oh, man, so much.
I'd like to say young Letitia, but someone had a birthday this week, didn't they?
Yes. You make it sound like I'm like five. I'm like, yeah.
I'm 4 and a half next week.
Yeah.
No, yes, you had a birthday on Thursday.
Yes, I did.
And we hung out.
We did.
What did we do?
We went to see Beetlejuice.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts on that particular movie.
Okay, so without giving away too much, and if you don't want to hear this, just skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah, like a couple minutes.
I enjoyed it. I think it was very fun. I think it had issues, but I'm overly critical. Still fun to go and see, and we had a good laugh, and it's gorgeous. Just so many ideas, I think.
Yeah.
That I think they were too excited, you know. It's like a kid that wants to do everything, but you need to be like, nope, this is the route we're going today. I think that's kind of.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. We discussed it after we saw the movie, and we were like, what'd you think? And you're like, I don't know yet. It was entertained, and it's still Beetlejuice. It's still Michael Keaton doing an absolutely fabulous job. It's Catherine O'Hara, just comedy.
Oh, my God.
Absolute pure comedy. But, it suffers from a few too many plot threads.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't really go anywhere,
and
unfortunately.
And we were talking as well, and we're wondering if originally it was a longer film and they cut it, which kind of would explain not enough time for each idea.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It felt like a couple of the characters didn't have depth. And that was just because there was just sheer little runtime they could have for that particular character because there were so many other things. It's like, cool, on to the next thing. It was like a freight train of ideas.
Yeah.
Especially in the middle part there. It didn't quite stick the landing. But I still enjoyed it. I still had a really good time watching it. It just wasn't. It's hard when you got 35-something years of nostalgia baked into that first film that everyone really loves. It was always going to be hard for it to follow up with. And I think going into it, I knew that. And I was like, it's not going to live up to the first one, but I'm going to see how it go.
Yeah. I'll definitely rewatch it. I found highly enjoyable. And I think everyone in it did an incredible job. A lot was going on.
Standing out for me, like obviously everything, but Willem Dafoe's.
Yes. He was weird. Obviously he's weird.
Cop role.
Yeah.
It was actually quite funny. Didn't really serve a purpose, but it was funny.
It was funny.
You could have cut that. You could have cut
Monica Bellucci's
character, who seems like it had a way bigger threat in the trailer than what actually happens in the movie.
Yeah, I really liked it, but I really think it had too many ideas.
Yep.
But again, like I'm not sure. I can't blame anything. Like I can't be like, oh, this is clearly who it was to blame or anything like that.
I agree. I think it's a tough one because
I liked all the ideas that they had in it though. That's the thing. Like, and I think that's the problem. I think they liked every idea that they had too, which is
they
why so
know
many
which
of them
one to cut.
Made it in. Yeah. I really enjoyed where they took
Lydia.
Yeah, well, her and
Astrid.
What's her mother's name in it?
Oh, it's like Delilah or something.
Delia. I really liked where they have
the dynamic was
they've
good.
Come to after like you know. Growing up and they're both parents and or in a sense and whatnot. I liked where their relationship had gone.
Yeah.
I liked it with Jenna Ortega as Astrid, like with her like grandma and her mum and being that awkward age where you're just not enjoying your parents
being a part of a family
and like, who they are. And
because I found the dynamic between Catherine O'Hara and Jenna Ortega, like they were closer. Because that's what happens.
That's what always happens.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I hate my parents. Especially, I hate my mom. Yeah, but you always go to the older one who had to deal with them.
Yeah, and I think as well, like obviously they put poor Lydia in just she'd had a rough go of it by this point. So yeah, I liked what they were doing with all of it, and I liked the reasoning, which you sort of find out later in the film, and I'm not going to necessarily go into it, but I liked the reasoning why Lydia and Astrid are at odds, like as a story beat, like that makes so much sense, but I just think they didn't explore it all with enough time, which is hard to do. Like I can't fault it, but yeah.
I will see it again. I'll probably just wait till it comes out physical media and I'll probably pick it up and I'll watch. That's when I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
Would I recommend it? I would probably say yes.
Yeah, I would recommend it.
I would recommend it.
I've seen worse films in cinema and gone, oh man, I paid money for that. Like it wasn't that kind of experience.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those lately.
Yeah.
I would still take the time probably just to check it out.
Yeah, I think so.
Have you seen anything else this week?
I did. So Monday I went to work and then I came home very early. I'd not slept and I was so sick and I had to leave work earlier anyway. So it was just like, whatever. I watched while also sleeping this documentary. I say sleeping like I wasn't sleeping, but it was lulling me to sleep.
Mm.
This documentary on Netflix called Follow the Rain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this Australian documentary following, what are they called? There's a name for it. Anyway, people that are into fungi.
Oh, yeah. Mushroom people.
There's a better name than that. And
I'm not a doctor.
Oh, God, it was so fascinating. And also, like, the visuals are gorgeous.
Incredible. Because, like, they can glow and stuff. And
yeah.
It's wild.
Like, and I think I knew this, but I haven't really thought about fungi and mushrooms and stuff in, like, a really long time. And I'm too scared to actually, like, take them. So, let's not even get
let's on that subject. Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Like, my brain is not stable enough. I would have a meltdown. But anyway, so, like, just they're not plants, but they're not animals. They're just, like, this secret third thing that we haven't really studied. And it's just – and then, like, they can clean, like – all this sorts of stuff out of our atmosphere, like they could be the secret to like saving this planet, but like no one's thinking
really
about it.
Like actually dedicating time to study and research.
Except for some guy that's now retired in Australia.
He's like, I'm done.
He's doing a documentary on it.
There was one on Netflix. It was like a mini doco and it was only like 3 or 4 eps. I think it was mostly showcasing like what they can look like over a time lapse rather than like they do this.
Yeah.
And it was incredible to watch.
That's called. I may have seen it.
Something fungi as well.
Yeah.
I've watched that completely off track.
That's
there,
what I started my week with. And then I watched another Australian Netflix short series. It's like 2 episodes called Videoland.
I saw that up on there, yeah.
Yeah, my friend had mentioned it and I was like, oh, it sounds like this film. And then, it was sort of mentioned. I was like, I'm good. And she's like, I hate you.
Is it only 2 eps?
It's only 2 eps.
I saw, I'm like, is it still going? Because 2 eps is
no,
weird.
It's just like,
is it a series? Is it a movie? Like what's going
well,
on?
Well, it's that typical thing of like this country
doesn't support anything, so I only got 2 eps.
And if they do, it's only like limited. It was like one of the. Anyway, I'm not going to go into it actually because I don't want to shade anyone that I'm still trying to get money off them, so let's not do that. But yeah, it's like 2 episodes and it's just like these young people in a video store and them just dealing with life while also just working in a video store. I found it quite funny.
Yeah.
There's some bits though that you just wanted to crawl out your skin and die, but you know, that's.
That's life.
That's life.
That's Life magazine.
But yeah, it's like a lot of reference to like 90s films and what was going on.
Love that vibe too.
Yeah, it was
love
cool.
Love that vibe.
It's very cool.
It was great last week doing 97.
Yeah.
I was so into it. One of the things I watched this week is, because I got a couple actually. I watched Sisu from 2022.
Was that good? I've seen it for
years. Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah, because it got delayed coming here, I think, to theaters. I think it only came out at the end of last year, so 23. So I think it was like one of those like Sundance kind of films from 22.
Yep.
Got delayed by like a year to get picked up, and then it came out roughly the end of 2023 in cinemas. So, and now it's finally on streaming. It's fun. It's just one of those films that's no real kind of premise besides what you've kind of seen in the trailers where it's this guy, he's an ex-soldier and he discovers gold, right? He's living by himself off the land and he discovers gold and he's trying to take it back to the city to basically, you know, like deposit it at a bank and, you know, he's wealthy. Yay.
Oh.
It's during World War II.
I've stacked shelves and I've stacked this like
and you've seen it heaps of times.
Have I looked at the back of this?
No, not
once. Not
at all. This is the end of World War II. So the Nazis are retreating out of Finland, and on his way to the city, a group of Nazi soldiers come across him. They've been killing everyone basically on their way to get out of the country. They come across him. They like ruffle him up and they see that he's got gold in his bag. And in the attempt to kind of basically rob him and kill him, he just turns around and like completely kills these Nazis that are there. And the other battalion that was like following them up realized that he's done this, and they're like, it's like a kind of like a chase kind of thing for the rest of the movie. And he slowly, like, one by one, like kills them. He doesn't have any dialogue in this entire film. He's like a lone kind of wolf character. It's
show,
great.
Don't tell, I guess.
Yeah. It's like really like guerrilla style warfare kind of kills in that. Really inventive kills. And
what was your favorite inventive kill? I must know. Sorry.
They go through a minefield. And he manages to get through, because he uses like a shield or something while they're shooting at him, and he throws something at one of the mines on the road, and it blows up. No one's around him. It blows up, so the smoke's there. Mm-hmm. That's how he clears out. They realize he's not there anymore, so the leader of the battalion sends two Nazis through this field, and like they look at each other, and they're like slowly walking, and you see one of them just like explode, and then the other one looks across, and then because he still has to keep going, and then just. He goes for ages, and then you see.
You want to go first, because that dread would be worse than surviving.
Yeah,
it wouldn't, but you know,
it's like gory, but it's gory in the tense sense that it's very comedic. It's not like, you know, like Saw level.
Yeah.
Like it's really silly kind of gore. He survives. There's so many situations where he shouldn't survive. Like, and then eventually at the end, you know, he it's a hero's journey. So you see, from start to finish, you see his arc. It's a great film. It's only like 90 minutes, I think, like 85 to 90 minutes. It's short, snappy, one premise, and that's what you get. It's great. I really enjoyed it. I think it's on Binge. I think that's where I checked it out. So that's the other thing I checked out. Anything else from you?
Yeah, I watched Uproar, which is the Kiwi film or New Zealand film. I really, really like this. This has Julian Dennison in it and, oh man, what's the other guy's name?
Rhys Darby.
Nah.
He's the
James Rollison, who's like this big Kiwi actor. Well, he was, and then he got in an accident, but now he's back in films. It's really cool. I think he was a kid and boy, actually, if I remember rightly. Anyway, it's not a Taika film, but go watch it anyway. And it's about this kid in the 80s. And there's all these like race wars kind of going on. Not in this country, but in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And because South Africa just legalized racism, and they were supposed to be coming over to play football in New Zealand, and everyone, there was kind of protests and stuff going on. And this is just the story of a kid who, he's like this fat kid who just reads books in the library, and he just wants to just not be seen by anyone. Like, he's just that kind of kid. And his brother used to be in like the big football league, but then he got in an accident. The dad died. The mum's doing her best to work in this like private school that, you know, the kids are going, or the kid went to, and then the older brother had been there, but he was like the football star. Anyway, basically they all get sort of thrown into this adventure because the older brother now has to coach the football team. He's like, cool, yep, younger brother, you're in it. And he's like, no, I read books. But he gets thrown in. The mum's like, you have to just keep your head down. I need this job. We need this. The school's looking after us, that kind of thing. But he gets in with like the acting kids because Rhys Darby has a drama club, mm-hmm. and he like finds himself in that.
Yeah.
And his voice through that. And he's sort of friends with Erina James' character. And she's like protesting because she's like, no, this sucks because they're Maori, but it's like in the 80s and, you know, essentially white Australia, but policy, but it's
New Zealand.
Yeah. And it's just him sort of finding his voice and finding out who he is, because his mum's English, but his dad was like a Maori and stuff. It's such a beautiful film. I was like,
yeah, I've been wanting to watch this for so long. A little bit teary.
It's funny at times and stuff, but also just sad. And then you watch and you go, that's the 80s. Like, we're not that far from the 80s.
No, it's like 40 years.
Yeah, how many generations? not enough.
It's like one and a half.
But then I was watching and I got sad because you see that, and then you see where New Zealand is now and how their nation is very much. They embrace the Maori stuff, and then, you know, we're in Australia and it's...
We're not quite there yet.
Not quite there yet.
We're not quite there.
So, yeah, it's one of those things you watch it and you're like, oh, they figured it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but we're still...
We're going to take it a little bit longer.
Yeah. But anyway, that was that film.
Okay. I will endeavor to watch it because I've been wanting to watch it since I kind of heard about it. It was at Brisbane International Film Festival last year and we didn't get to see it because we were tied up. And then I was like, when is it coming to Australia? When is it coming here? And I think it had a limited release here. We didn't really get to see it. And now it's finally on streaming. Wanted to check it out. I will now.
Did you see the dates for Biff?
I did. It's like end of October, start of November. Mm-hmm. We need to take some time off, I think.
Yeah, at least a week.
Yeah, we're going to should take a...
Or a couple days.
At least four. You got 4 days.
Well, I've got like the weekend and then, if I can just take a couple of days.
Because we should see as many as we possibly can. Because as we learned from last year, some of these films won't be back for another year.
Yeah, no, I definitely...
So I want to see what we can.
I want to take as much as I can, feasibly take off and... Hopefully they release the schedule soon so we can
see what we really want. Yeah. Anyone else that's half interested in movies, check out Biff. See if there's something you want to see.
Yeah. It's all over Brisbane. A lot of it ends up being free or pretty cheap.
Yeah.
It's incredible and I don't think I've ever really ended up taking advantage of it as much as I should just because, you have work and you get busy and then –
Yeah, exactly.
You make excuses for yourself and then the year rolls around
just
and you
do
go,
it next time.
Done?
And you're like, can't see
That's
anything.
Pretty much.
I've got two left.
All I've watched, but I will have one next week. I'm going to the movies tomorrow. I'm very excited.
What are you seeing?
I'm seeing his three daughters.
Oh, yeah, you are too. Yeah. Fantastic. That's why we've Carrie completely
Coon,
moved
Lizzie
this
Olsen,
entire.
Natasha Lyonne film. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'll wait till Netflix.
I hate that I have to go so far. I have to go to the Valley to see it.
Worth it, though.
Oh,
worth it because you're not having to wait like an extra month.
But
and also in a cinema.
Could some cinemas closer, please just enjoy art? Like I hate Trekking so far just for one film. I mean, I'll do it.
But
love to do it. But God, it would be so much easier.
Just one around here would be nice.
Just one wanky cinema in this god awful town.
God awful town. I ended up watching Long Legs.
Oh, was it good?
It is really good.
Did you find a cheeky outlet to watch that?
I did. Yes, I did.
It's not on streaming yet.
I found a loophole. For anyone at home who's not aware what Long Legs is, it is a story where, this lady is in pursuit of a serial killer. An FBI agent uncovers a series of occult clues that she must solve to end his terrifying killing spree. It is a creepy movie. It is very creepy. I wouldn't say it's full-blown horror. Very creepy. It's Nicolas Cage as Long Legs, if you aren't aware of that either. You might have seen a snippet or two on TikTok or on YouTube where he's doing his little thing from the movie.
I don't think I have. I've been really avoiding it.
If you can avoid it.
Did want to go see it.
That's probably better.
Yeah.
Just go in blind. Don't look up what he looks like or
anything.
Yeah,
no, I've got no idea.
Yeah, that's going to be a better situation for you. It's less so much a literal movie and a lot of it is pretty metaphorical.
Okay.
In terms of what the characters represent and their relationships.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I thought about it because when I first finished it, I watched it with Ben, housemate here. We kind of both were keen to check it out and I looked at him and I'm like, that was weird. It was really weird. And I wasn't sure about the payoff, but reading through different takes on it and sitting with it for a bit and I was like, actually, that was kind of genius at the same time.
Okay. I love that. I love when a film makes you have to think about it for a while before you appreciate it. You're like, hang on. Yeah.
Because the shots, the cinematography, the way it's built it's stunningly well done. There's craft and love there. And I appreciated that. And once I kind of got an understanding of what the messaging they were trying to do in certain scenes and what it represents and stuff like that, I was like, actually, this is a good film. This is worth checking out. If you can be okay with horror, cults, religion, kind of thing, good, evil, demons, that whole chestnut, you'll be fine. It's.
I have a story for you. So me and my good friend Nadia were catching up yesterday in the city. She's up from Sydney. Anyway, we're just hanging out in Anzac Square.
Yeah.
Just having a good time. And I look up and I see a friend from uni and, hey, is that, Trav? And yeah, it's Trav. I was like, cool, I'm going to shout out. Anyway, so we're having this lovely chat.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just talking about what he's been doing, what we've been doing and all that kind of stuff. Film stuff got brought up because that's our industry.
Yep.
And then this guy. Just
random man.
Just random man with a duffel bag and a backpack Long comes up.
Is that you?
And he just starts talking to us and we're like, okay. And we still sort of said hello and whatnot. He's like, oh, you guys look friendly. And like, we're like, yeah, because we're friends. Mm-hmm. Anyway, then Travis kept just, I don't know, kept talking about whatever we're talking about, hoping that this guy would just catch a hint and leave.
Yeah.
But then he goes, oh, like he must have started talking to us about if we're in film or you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, somehow this man, well, he was probably in his 20s, just started pitching his idea to us.
Oh, my God.
And my friend Travis.
You had a pitch.
My friend Travis, who teaches at university now,
yeah,
just kind of went, okay, you've got 30 seconds. Like, give me an elevator pitch kind of thing.
Mm.
This guy kept talking. I swear to God, it went nearly 40 minutes. Or like, and then he went to sort of talk about another idea and we went, that one's better. And he went, really? I don't think so. And we went, okay, well, what?
One, I'm not invested. I don't care. What's sure.
going on? Yeah, it did. It did a little bit turn into a bit of a quiet roast between me and Trav because he was being more like, "I, you know, I'll help you." And I was just,
so you're I taking was sort the of helping, piss
but also just
out
like
of this man.
No, but I had genuine questions like why this and why that and is this the best way to do it? And then it just sort of kept going and it went for probably, like I said, 40 minutes
too long.
Of us just like, when's he going to leave? And I literally ended up by being like, well, I need to wee really bad. So I'm going to have to go. Otherwise, it would have kept going.
Oh, 100%. He probably thought he was actually legitimately going to pitch to
Here's my favorite. Okay, I forgot about this bit. And Cameron, if you're listening, sorry. Skip ahead. You don't need to hear this. He said at one point he was genuinely, because someone he knew had, I don't know, got somewhat integrated some talks with A24. So he thought he was going to get immediately A24, like that he could settle for no less. And
what?
You know who has to star in it? Has to star in it.
Who?
Jenna Ortega. Has to star. He's going to get her.
Okay.
And then he's like, and I think we would really get along. And I just quietly turned to Nadia and just went, she'd eat him alive. It was a whole day.
Oh, 100%.
I was like, oh, the confidence of a straight white man.
He obviously hasn't seen the new Sabrina's Carpenter film
Death
clip.
Becomes Her. Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my yesterday. It was so bizarre.
That's so strange. Where did he come from and where did he go?
He just got off a plane from Canada, but he may as well have been American with his
persona.
Yeah, not to shade Americans, but you know, there's a type.
There is.
And yeah.
What was he here for?
Oh, I don't know. We didn't ask him questions. We just wanted him to leave.
No, you were stuck with him for nearly an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, that's strange.
It was.
That is the city though.
Weird.
That is the city. That's what you get.
Weird, weird, weird.
Weird, weird, weird.
So that was my yesterday.
That's your yesterday.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It was so random.
Part of the week you forgot about.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've got one more film before we get into our topic. I ended up watching through another shifty little place to watch this film. It's called Greedy People. It's from this year. I'm pretty sure it's on a streaming service somewhere, but not in Australia. Starring Himesh Patel, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Lily James, Tim Blake Nelson, and Simon Rex. So for those playing at home, it is the residents of a small picturesque island town must navigate a sensational murder and the discovery of $1 million, leading to a series of increasingly bad decisions which upend the once peaceful community. Mid.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, mid. This movie so badly wants to be a Coen Brothers film.
Oh.
So badly. Where like these completely like neurotic characters increasingly make worse and worse decisions. Where by the third act, it's just balls to the wall stupidity. Like they're just doing really, really crazy things. The body count increases significantly higher by the end.
I always think when you're watching these kind of things, that it's like a murder mystery.
Yeah, that would be better.
And then the body count gets to a point and you're like
everyone's
what? It's like when I used to watch How to Get Away with Murder and like the first season made sense.
Show.
The second season you're like, I'll suspend my disbelief. And then like it just, I chaos. Had to turn it off because also.
How many people are you murdering?
The characters got written weird. But I just remember watching it when I was younger and be like, oh, how many murders are we getting away with? Realistically.
Anyway, it should be just one, right?
Yeah even then.
Mm. Yeah, I was looking forward to this because obviously the cast is pretty stacked. Like I like everyone that's in this. So obviously Himesh Patel and Lily James were together in Yesterday as well, that movie with the Beatles that no one knew the Beatles, but he does, so he sings them and becomes famous. But there are a couple in that. There are a couple in this. Obviously, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I think he's great. He's really fun. He
doesn't pop up in too much anymore. Not like he used to.
Yeah, I feel like the early 2000s, that decade, he was everywhere.
Yeah, there we.
Yeah, 500 Days of Summer, other things.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I know the ones, but yeah. So, yeah, they're cops. They just, there's money involved. There's a murder. They try and cover it up, and it gets way out of hand. But there's so many different characters that are involved. It's so layered, from the initial murder, what that person was doing with the money becomes another layer. That person wants the money from to give to someone else becomes another layer. It just gets chaotic. Unfortunately.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's literally just a clone of the Coen Brothers movies, which just go watch the Coen Brothers movies. Like, pick Fargo instead. You'll have a much better time.
I need
time.
To watch that still.
It's so good.
No one come for me.
Yeah. No, it's probably their best.
Oh, no. Again, yeah. I desperately want to watch it, but
I don't think it's on anything. I had to buy it.
I think it is, but week to week, I just have other stuff to do.
True. It's one of those things where someone's like, oh, have you not seen this? And you're like, brother, I've watched 204 films this year. Give me a break. I have not seen everything.
I've seen 204 films, and you know what? That's not one of them.
That's not one of them. I will get to it. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Have you seen the other 198 films I've seen?
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So we'll get to everything eventually, especially if we know if there's a topic coming up. We'll most likely just wait for then.
Just give me a week,
right? give me a week, guys. But that's it. I watched a little bit of F-Boy Island Australia and F-Girl Island US. Yes.
Yeah, you watched a lot of it. Don't.
I almost watched the entire season of F-Girl Island US in one night.
Yeah, see, there you go. So
Ben had to stop me.
Don't let the poor people at home think that, you know, you've got self-control.
Oh, I've got none.
Or taste.
You need to have these type of shows in between, quality cinema, as Martin Scorsese will tell you. Cinema. You got to have these schluck shows. They're addictive. They're addictive for a reason because you're like, people don't act like this.
Yeah.
But they do.
I never really got, I can't get into sort of that kind of
reality.
You've got
to be with other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What I really enjoyed though was there was a TV show once, I think it was a Showtime, called Unreal.
I know the one. Oh, my God. The one where it's a making of a reality TV show.
Making of The Bachelor, written by people who
were on The Bachelor. Yeah. How unreal it is. Oh, how formulaic it is.
I got so hooked into that and just how messed. Oh, it's fascinating.
It's so messy. It's
genius.
Yeah, that's a really good show. Unreal.
Would 1,000% recommend. Yeah. Haven't seen it in
It's been years. Out for a couple of years. I think close to 10 years since it started.
Yeah, I watched it in 2018, I think.
And it's been a hot minute.
I binged it.
But it's fantastic, though. Yeah, really good show. And that's what I guess these are based on. Same thing, F-Boy Island, F-Girl Island, they're all very formulaic, like The Bachelor.
I couldn't do it. It just made me angry.
Yeah.
Because
it's Lennox.
They're like, oh, we don't know who the F-Boy is. I know who the F-Boy is. It's pretty obvious. 2 minutes. All of them.
All of them.
Even
they all are.
Aren't. They are.
They are. They're on this show.
Yeah.
They are.
No one genuine's going on there.
No. Oh, I really want to find my one true love by going on a reality show where only half of them are real and half of them are.
And all I really like is Abby Chatfield.
She's fantastic. Yep. You can't say no to her.
She can say no to you, though.
She probably would.
Yeah.
That's it this week. That's all my watching. I haven't watched any more.
Yeah, I didn't watch much. I didn't
Rings
watch,
of Power yet.
I think I got through She's the Man. I got through The Crow and I got through
but we'll talk about
the original Beetlejuice, but we'll get to them.
We'll get to them. But it is time for the topic, Tish. And which one is it?
It is cult classics, which everyone already knows.
Yes.
I don't know why we pretend like they haven't read it.
If you've clicked on this and not sure what you clicked on, we're going to talk about the topic. It's cult classics.
It's cult classics.
You were going to give us a bit of a rundown on the definition though.
I was, because here's the thing. I thought I knew what a cult classic was. And then over the time I've been like, do I know what a cult classic is? And then I looked it up again and I'm like, okay, so the definition has obviously
it's evolved. Morphed. Yeah.
So originally a cult film, a cult movie, a cult classic is a film that has acquired a cult following. Cult films are known for their dedicated, passionate fan base, which forms an elaborate subculture, members of which engage in repeated viewings, dialogue quoting, and audience participation. Often these are films, or they definitely were films, that didn't really do well in their original theatrical release.
But have gone on to gain an audience.
They were like, oh, they're flops, but then they got a cult following.
Yeah.
And then now they're like highly regarded. Sort of since then, I think the term has sort of evolved into just something that has like a massive following. Yeah. So things like Mean Girls are now considered a cult classic, but they did commercially well at the time they would.
Mm.
So I wouldn't necessarily consider that a true cult classic. But then I did want to talk to you about the idea of cult films and cult classics and stuff. I just don't think we're going to have many anymore.
No, try and think of some from like the last 5 years.
Well, here's the thing, right? I don't know why I said 10. Math is pulling numbers from nowhere.
17. But let's
like,
just
say. Like, so many films now are straight to streaming. So how can you have a cult viewing in cinema and 100%. Stuff like that? They're never going to go back to cinemas because they never were in cinemas.
No.
See, they don't have that. It's such a singular experience as opposed to as a group.
Yeah, I think my idea personally of a cult classic or a cult film is the original definition where it's like, think of something from the 80s. Yeah, it might not have done well, but it's had that time and built that love up over an extended period of, you know, a couple of decades. So obviously, for example, you were going to talk about The Crow, but I'll bring it up now. Like The Crow didn't do very well. Also, it had pretty hectic story related to it as well.
I was thinking that. I was wondering how would it be as highly regarded as a cult film had he not died? Don't know.
Possibly not. But it's created a cult status because of
it. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So I agree. Like if there's a movie that's gone straight to Netflix or something, there's not a chance in hell it's ever going to create a cult phenomenon.
Because
give 20 years time, it's not.
You can't have the whole thing, which is like the viewing and the participation where people, because no one's viewing them in public because they're Netflix owned. You legally cannot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame, actually.
It's all morphed. It's all the change with physical media. Like, cult films are the type of people that have ownership. They want to own it. Yeah. They want to physically have it. So if you're having it on streaming, you can't physically have it in person. You don't have a feel of, I have part of it.
No.
So, it's
really impersonal, actually.
Yeah, really is the way we've gone with the streaming services. So, it's a struggle. So the way I see cult classics is it's, you know, personally it's going to be a lot of like the 80s, 90s, early 2000s.
Well, because they've had
it's built that time. It's had that time now to create that status.
And sort of a cultural significance that wasn't necessarily as possible before that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wild times.
I mean, should we just get straight into the big one?
I think we should.
Yeah, like Rocky Horror Picture Show. Huge. The cult classic of all cult classics.
It's like one of the originals, 1975.
No one wanted this film to be seen because, and I think,
too sexual.
I watch it now, like for 75.
Oh, it was very promiscuous for 75.
Yeah.
Very.
Have you seen it recently?
Yeah, we watched it for musicals last year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Like it is. There's so much going on. I love it. It's now.
It's dated.
It's very dated.
It's very fun though.
So much fun. Tim Curry. Oh my God.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Just.
He knows. He's got the riz.
Oh my God. As the kids would say.
The charisma.
Like, this was one of those ones that in the 80s, people were putting on shows. So they'd have, if people don't know, they'd have the movie playing on a screen in the background. They would then get people to dress up as the characters and they would and then act out and do the musical numbers of the film while it was on.
Yeah.
And then people would dress up, sit in the audience.
Yeah.
That is like, if that's not cult, I don't know what is.
That's exactly it.
And
it's a subculture.
It's a subculture. It's a
subculture.
And it's funny because I was like, and it makes sense, I suppose, but I was looking through this list that we've sort of put together.
Yeah, we've got a couple here. Yeah.
And it makes sense, but you don't think like the people that brought most of these cult films to be cult films are, it's very much like,
there's like three or four
different subcultures that really held this up. And like the gays.
Nailed it.
Oh my God. Cult film. It. Because I guess it's like they didn't have anything.
No.
And these things
exactly
allowed
right.
them to have an have community and stuff like that.
Togetherness,
and
yeah.
Have a bit of a fun time. And
no, 100% agreed. Yeah.
Because I was like, hang on, hold on, there's a pattern.
But I'm a cheerleader.
Oh, yeah, like he's just, I mean, camp. Anything camp anything really camp, has a cult following. Yeah. And you know what? So it should.
Yeah, because so you don't see that anymore in movies. No. Camp's kind of gone to the wayside.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's not really a thing anymore. It's unfortunate. Like even you could say like the first Beetlejuice had camp.
Yeah, to a
but
degree.
The second one really didn't.
No.
Like even Michael Keaton's character was toned down. Like Beetlejuice itself was toned down.
I know, it was interesting because they put I mean, okay, look, I understand why some things are toned down. There's some that
the doesn't. Sexual.
I think you can have a degree.
Harassment? You can have a degree.
You can have a degree of it, but yeah.
I know what you mean. Like,
it's funny because they gave him like two F-bombs, one of which was bleeped.
Well, because the M rating.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're allowed one, not two.
But they didn't have him even slightly perverted.
No, that was what I was finding. Well, because they created an actual character and background.
Yeah.
Didn't need it.
He didn't need one. He is a poltergeist. That's the whole point of poltergeists. It's like they're entities. They're not the person they were when they were alive. But yeah, he could have definitely – I mean, you don't necessarily have to have him touching anyone or even saying anything explicit, but you can have it implicit.
The first one, it was probably still before the line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we watched the first one this week as well just to catch up, but I was like, okay, he's – sexually aggressive in certain scenes, but it's still before the line in my
opinion. And here's the thing with that as well. You can put that in film because what the first one did very well, and that's what gave the line, was no one was like, oh, good on you, mate. Everyone was like, oh, you are a pervert.
That was 100% the characterization of Beetlejuice.
Right, like that. Everyone was like, no.
Mm.
Which then made viewers go, oh, what he's doing is bad, wrong. Even if you're little and you're too like young to understand it. So then you can watch that and still be like, yeah, he is a pervert. Yeah. Let's not call him.
Let's not call him.
He might marry our daughter. Like, you know.
Yeah. There was the threat. That was the threat.
What
I was going to talk about is you saying like different subcultures, like, you know, created a lot of these cult classics. But for me, it was particularly the people who made them.
Well, that too.
Were very common. So for me, I noticed a lot of the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
The Wachowskis. And also Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
There were the three that kind of, there was a
anything Tarantino has a cult, whether did well at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were the three that really stood out to me in particular. Obviously the next one that we're going to talk about is The Big Lebowski from 1998. The Coen brothers, probably one of their best as well.
Yeah.
Which you only watched recently.
Yeah. But then you say that, right? Like, oh, they're like pretty common people, but then they have interesting, I guess, personal lives.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like one of the Coen brothers is married to
the Wachowskis.
Lesbian, and they're married still, but they're not, like, that's not quote unquote
normal,
general, like, marriage.
Exactly. It's outside the norm, which is why.
A trans in the Matrix. Yeah. If you don't watch the Matrix and get that subtext now, knowing it's like.
Yeah. Especially the new one, too.
Well, that's. That was kind of the reason they made the new one. It was more for, I can't remember which.
Lana, I think.
Lana, yeah, I can't remember which one. But it was very much a personal story, which is why she made it, which from an artist's perspective, I'm like, good for you. Whether it commercially did well or not,
I think it in that's time, a separate thing. I think, yet again, I think the fourth one will get a cult status.
I've only seen the first. Sorry.
I would suggest watching them.
Oh, no, I did mean to. I mean, just,
I think the first one's the best one.
I went through a phase where I hadn't seen a lot of films. So I was like, if I at least watch the first one of certain ones, I get a gist.
Seen Jaws 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at the time, I was like, I've seen Alien, so I get a gist.
Yeah, exactly.
Next, like,
okay, yeah, they're all the same.
Can kind of talk about,
No.
People are more accepting of that.
Oh, I've seen Alien. Yeah. I've seen The Matrix.
The first one? Yeah, that's a good one. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I would say in your own time, definitely get a chance to see the other Matrix movies. Because, yeah, the fourth one, while it was really polarizing when it first came out at the cinemas, and everyone's like, it was just a rehash of the first one, but, like, gender swapped. And you're like...
okay, I didn't know that, but hearing that now, I'm like, wow.
Literally. And you're like, that's the point. And, so...
Yeah, it is interesting as well, because I guess talking about the Wachowski, is that how you say it?
Wachowski.
Yeah. They did another film called Bound in the 90s that was just like borderline erotic.
Yeah.
Like two lesbians just live in one lives in a building, one is kind of there. They like, I think they kill someone, whatever. Anyway, like, I do wonder when the sort of the mainstream are looking at artists and what they're creating and no one ever goes, I wonder why that was one that they wanted to explore to the point where they like, you know, wrote the script, got it made, put it out in the world. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like...
It wouldn't have been a shock with what happened.
No.
It shouldn't have been.
It's what I mean.
It shouldn't have
the
been.
The writing was...
On the wall.
The subtext is low. Actually, it does take a while to work that stuff out, even if it's you. So I guess we can give the general public a break, actually. Now I'm saying it out loud. I'm like, you know like, what? No. Yeah.
They also, they wrote V for Vendetta.
I haven't seen that yet. I've been meaning to find it, but I couldn't find it recently.
I bought it. I still haven't watched it since I bought it again. I will rewatch that one. This. It's a huge cult following.
But like, I don't know about, why.
It's about fascism in Great Britain. But there was a whole movement saying, oh, this is happening in real life. We need to get behind it. So there was a massive cult following when this came out in 2005. Great portrayal from Natalie Portman and Hugo Weaving in this. They did really well. From memory, though, I watched this around 2006, 7, like when it first came out in physical media back then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember loving it, so it's why I want to readdress it again and see if I kind of understand it a little better. You know, I'm in a better headspace with films and go, okay, yes, I appreciate it now. So I want to readdress this one, but definitely a cult film.
Yeah.
Huge cult film.
Speaking of Hugo Weaving, I mean, he's been in a lot of cult films.
I know which one you're going to next.
The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, A Cock and a Frock on a Rock.
Oh, you've seen this a couple of times.
It's a pretty good film.
It's a really good film.
It's funny because
Guy Pearce and who's the other one? I can't remember the third one, but
what's his name? Anyway, such a good film. My grandma
really
loves
this. Really progressive for 1994.
Yeah.
Really progressive. Yeah. Was this based on a book? I can't remember.
Let me Google it while we talk.
Yeah, because I remember this is one of my parents' favorite films from the 90s. They used to play this all the time. So that's why I've seen it so many times.
I think it's what, like, a crazy, like, not to get too into it, but, like, what film does, right, is, like, my grandma loves this, your parents love it.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily, like, or they wouldn't have been necessarily that progressive at the time as people, right? Society wasn't.
No.
But you can watch this film, see the humanity in people and go, oh, okay. Because I know in like the characters, like some of them were just drag queens, but some of them were like trans as well.
Yeah.
Like who of that generation in Australia, which is pretty, is grim, but like we're cool with that. But then you put a film like this on, everyone's like, loves
it. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this was just written and directed by Stephen Elliott.
Okay.
Stephen?
Is it PH?
PHAN.
Oh, Stefan.
Which maybe we shouldn't be saying like that.
Stefan.
That's SNL, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Stefan. So. Yeah,
yeah, that's why we've all done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was based on a book. There's a stage play.
I thought it was. My mistake. But yeah, enjoyable. Obviously, it was really progressive for a conservative Australia in 94. So yeah, I can see why yet again it's built a cult following. Yeah. And like you said, a minority group's built a subculture around it.
Yeah, and it's something that they were sort of – socially allowed to enjoy.
Yes, exactly.
As well, like it's kind of an outlet.
Yeah.
Sneaky way in to like have a good time and no one's like hate criming them, which
it also helps that I think like all three of those actors were like really big emerging stars at the time as well. So seeing someone like the like, you know, Hugo Weaving, especially Guy Pearce, fulfilling a role like this like creates like a norm to it as well.
Yeah, and being like, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you've got a problem with it, that's something you need to address and no one wants to do that.
Someone needs to tell Walking Phoenix, I think. So
yeah.
That's still going on. Apparently there's a whole litigation involved.
Yeah, so. It's just like, come on, man. Yeah. Grow up.
Oofed.
Grow up with don't champion a project. You're too
scared.
Don't
create the project and then leave. It doesn't make sense.
Let's make this more explicit. Oh no, I'm too scared. One or the other, my dude.
One or the other, dude.
One or the other.
Yeah. Let's talk about like the teen kind of like films. We've got like in a row, we've got two, we've got Heathers and like Jennifer's Body, very similar kind of films, but definitely culty kind of films. My one from my teenage years is Jennifer's Body. So I grew up
when I was
a late teen.
I knew about it, but I hadn't seen it until a couple of years ago. And I was like, why did people sleep on this? This is amazing.
Incredibly sexual.
Also, everyone loved Megan Fox at the time.
And Megan Fox at the time had just finished Transformers and then did this. So she was like A-lister at the time. And so was Amanda Siegfried.
Yeah.
Karen
from Mean Girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they were both huge in this. And it's a really good film.
This is a cult following, but like I didn't know anything about it. And then I watched it and I was like.
It's also a culty film.
This is a queer film? Like I had no idea because no one talks about that.
Well, it is, but yeah.
But it is. But like that wasn't what, you know, everyone's like, oh, Megan Fox. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure, or whatever. And then I just didn't think it was that kind of film, right?
No, because no one ever like. It was, again, one that got buried. People went, it's not as good as Juno. I think it had come before.
Yeah, it was around the same time.
Film.
Yeah.
But Diablo Cody's always done weird stuff.
Yeah.
Gotta love her. She just did another one, Lisa Frankenstein.
I did see that.
Might get cult following if cult following still happens.
hard to say. I've watched it. I've watched Lisa Frankenstein, and I think Catherine Newton does a fantastic job with one of the Sprouse brothers.
Cole, I believe. Cole, I think Dylan Axe.
They're great. They're great in it, but the story's not there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well.
So, it's hard, so probably not. Can you do? But.
Yeah, I, like, Jennifer's Body wasn't mine, but, and nor was Heather's at the time.
I only saw Heather's recently, obviously, but it's out. The Mean Girls before Mean Girls.
98. Yeah, sort of before Jawbreaker even.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I watched, so I think I was talking to you, I started watching this on the plane and I was like, and it's like, you know, F me with a chainsaw. And yeah. I was like, hold on.
Hang on a minute.
I might watch this when I have time. This is not what I thought it was going
to
be.
This is not what I expected to be.
And I'm not appreciating.
Do you think it was going to be like a teen rom-com kind of thing, or more Mean Girls where it's like PG?
I think I was, thought it was going to be more PG because I'd known about it. I knew sort of vaguely what it was about, but I didn't think it was going to be so like forward in terms of,
yeah,
like for the '80s, it's not really like a, sorry, early '90s,
yeah,
but it late '90s.
Late '90s.
Anyway,
what is time?
I didn't. Yeah, I had no idea it was going to be.
Yeah.
So full on, and I love it.
It's a good film. It's a very good film. I'm glad you got me to watch it.
Good. Well, I was like hearing something about this earlier today, and obviously it's a Winona Ryder as,
yeah.
God, she's not one of the Heathers. What's her character name?
She's the other character. She's basically the
Veronica.
Lindsay
Veronica Sawyer.
Lohan, yep, character from Mean Girls. She's the opposite one.
Yeah. And she wanted to she wanted to do it really, really badly, and her agent begged her, do not take this role. Like, don't take it.
Yeah.
She ended up taking it because she's Winona Ryder, and she's
she
like,
wanted to do
yeah,
what
but
she wants.
This looks cool. And she lost out like jobs after it came
That's
out.
That's surprising because it's...
now.
We love it now, Heathers. But I guess at the time, Heathers probably didn't have a great appeal.
No, because it's
to the
about
audience?
Like one girl, Veronica, and this naughty guy that comes into town, yeah, like JD.
Chris
and,
Slater.
Yeah, she sort of falls for him, but she gets in with these the mean girls, the Heathers, because she's forging notes for them and stuff like that. And then, you know, they just start killing people, like knocking off jocks and Heather, like cheerleaders.
It becomes more adult because of, I guess, the murderings that happen in it. Whereas Mean Girls is literally just like, that's the worst effing skirt I've ever seen. Like, it's like a very different
like she gets hit
level.
By a bus, but she's fine. But this one, it's like, no, they're definitely dying.
Yeah.
There's all that
There's the confrontation at the end as well. Between him and her. Which
is
pretty full on.
It's such a good film.
Great film.
Love it.
Yeah. I might pick it up actually. It's quite
good. Got the DVD somewhere. Yeah. But I think it's probably on, no, I don't know if you can get a Blu-ray anymore. I think it got. From our
back to eBay.
Back to eBay. back to the trenches. But yeah, if you haven't seen Heathers, go and watch it. Yeah. You'll have a great time. Also, everyone's into Winona Ryder right now. So
she's very
go watch
in
her
the
work.
Sphere, isn't she?
Good for her, because she disappeared for a long time.
She did. She had a break. She had a break. But that's what
she didn't have a break.
Actors.
She got blacklisted from Hollywood because she stole a bunch of stuff when she was.
Right. I forgot about that whole situation.
She was on all these drugs that she shouldn't have been on for whatever was wrong with
and
her at the time.
She kind of had a bit of a breakdown.
Had a breakdown, stole a bunch of stuff from like Saks or something. I don't know. Yeah, but like also, she went to like the trial, like dressed up. Like, good for her. She believed in herself. She got blacklisted for ages, which when you look at the reason other people like should be blacklisted from Hollywood and she just stole some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, stealing's never good.
It's also a different world now. Like with social media and that, and just so connected to everyone's lives, especially like celebrities as well. So like, even if something stupid like that happened to someone now, you'd be like, oh, like look at Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
He won't lose a job.
No.
He'll be fine.
She could blacklist literally.
This will ruin the tour. What tour? The world tour.
I love that meme so much.
So good.
But like she only got brought back into the zeitgeist from Stranger Things, which poor woman, because now she can get film roles and she's like, God, it's been 10 years.
But the thing is, I was also going to mention that as well, is obviously people go through dips because of the types of casting that they're going to be getting. So obviously she was like a teen, quote unquote, heartthrob for a number of years there.
They knew what to do with it.
And then there is also that gap in terms of roles that she can get until she's now in that motherly role, right? Like she's that older mother.
She can be a mother, yeah.
There's a bunch of roles that she can get from that. So there was a period of time where there was clearly no roles for her.
Yeah, no roles, and Hollywood wasn't casting women at that age. Like there were no roles for women.
Yeah, like 30s to 40s before that older 40s.
There was nothing because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and that happens to people all the time. That's why they go up and down. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it depends on the roles that they're looking for particular people. So.
But you know what? Good for her. She's back in it.
She's back.
We get
she's
to see
back,
her in
baby.
Cinema again. I'm happy. So I'm happy for it. Clue. Have you seen it?
I have. It's been a while, but it's Cluedo. I've been trying to find it.
Yeah. But the reason this got a cult following, well, one of the main reasons is, and I think the story's amazing. I don't know if you even.
Is it about the endings?
Yeah, yeah. They put it in a bunch of cinemas all over like America.
With different endings.
So people would go see it and they'd be at the water cooler or whatever being like, oh, I saw Clue this weekend. Oh my God, did you see the ending? Blah, 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 blah.
X person killed that person. And then someone would be like, no, I got a different.
No, I didn't see that. And but they didn't market it as different endings. No. So people were just confused and then they caught on.
Yeah.
And then people, I'm assuming, would have been going back to see the other ending. Yeah. And I'm like, God, that is such a
genius. And that's such a great way to promote Clue, like literally Cluedo.
Yeah, which I've never played either, but like.
Haven't you played Cluedo?
Nah, no one ever wanted to.
Do you know the
me.
Premise?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because cool. We didn't have it in the house. And yeah. Mum wasn't keen to teach me to play Cluedo.
So I had a Simpsons version when I was younger. Oh, so man. It was basically all the characters were just, yeah.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Of course you did. It's on brand for Shannon.
But it's a good film. It's a really good film. Tim Curry again.
Tim Curry.
So there's always actors that are involved with culty films as well. Oh, my God. Yeah, he's in, like this, even It, you could consider probably a cult. The original one.
Yeah, horror has a TV cult following. It does anyway. But I think that's just because it was so non-mainstream at the time.
Yeah, so the people created and their love for it outside of the mainstream.
All the religious, I can't think what the term's called. Satanic panic.
Yeah.
Because of that, it was always going to be cult.
Yeah, like the first probably two Friday the 13th, you could probably put on this list. Nightmare on Elm Street, mm-hmm. you could put on this list, but we haven't because horror is its own subgenre anyway.
A thing within it.
Yeah.
Donnie Darko is obviously. Yeah,
we've mentioned that as well, but it's huge cult following.
Labyrinth on this list. Have you seen Labyrinth yet?
No, I still haven't.
You haven't seen Bowie's Bulge?
I've seen his bulge.
Yeah, who
has? Because we watched that Jim Henson special and it was everywhere.
Yeah, imagine me being 11. My friend said, like, Labyrinth is the best movie ever.
But also,
she loved Bowie. I was in that weird stage of. Wasn't really into kids' films, but still kind of watched kids' films. Thought that I was going to see something that made sense.
Apparently it doesn't.
Labyrinth. I sat there. I watched it. I was confronted by Bowie's bulge.
He was packing heat.
Yeah. And then, so I didn't get this the first time I watched this. I didn't like it. Didn't get it.
I want to see it.
Had no idea. And then, you know, over the years, I've rewatched it.
You're like, okay.
Learned to not look at his bulge so much, which is hard to do.
Look at the hair. Look at the hair.
It's right there. But yeah, it's a genius film.
Yeah.
Puppetry is amazing.
Well, watching the special and showing how much love and care went into that film.
So weird.
And for it to not land.
Yeah, it didn't.
It's unfortunate. No, it didn't do well at all.
So weird.
But people love that and The Dark Crystal a lot now.
Yeah, I think Labyrinth obviously more because Jennifer Connelly and obviously.
One of her first roles, I think.
Bowie, yeah. It's stunning, but also so weird.
Tell me about the Watermelon Woman.
Yeah, I watched this last year, I think.
Yeah.
It ended up getting some sort of like award for prestige or whatever and like cultural significance at some university. So then it was like back on streaming in a weird way. But this is a film that's presented as a documentary within the film because it's about two people making a documentary. It's completely fictional, but it's about this watermelon woman as a character type that would show up in like black films. And
I think you remember telling
And so it's these two girls that work in a video store. One's a lesbian. So you hear like of all these like cult films from their perspective as they're like exploring this archetype that shows up in films. But it's just, I can't remember it enough to tell you like the entire plot of the film, but it's such a good film. It's easy to watch.
Yep.
I wasn't sure if it was true or not, like if this watermelon woman existed because she's trying to find like the actress who ended up playing these like reoccurring roles. So I thought, it must be like true at one point, but then at the end it sort of just goes what if it's kind of.
Yes, it's literally going, hey.
Yeah. Such a fascinating watch. And like for people that are into films, it's like you should watch it.
It's on that list.
Yeah, it is kind of on that list. And especially if you're like queer and into queer films, like you should probably have watched it. That being said, I only watched it last year, so who am I to judge? But like it is one of those ones that's kind of brought up. And then I was watching that thing the other day and I was like, sounds like Watermelon Woman because it is.
It's of the type.
Of that thing, but yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Princess Bride.
Not seen it, sorry.
I have.
I know, so I thought I'd put it in the list.
I have seen it. I only watched it about a year ago and I can see why it's a cult film. It very much reminds me of that kind of like whimsical fantasy film from the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's shown in a great way where it's like a father's telling his son a storybook. Oh. And kind of goes into the story that okay. way. Cuts away. I think it's Fred Savage is as the kid. And that's why Deadpool does that little skit where he's talking to Fred Savage as an adult and he's still in the same bed. It's a callback to the Princess Bride. Yeah, cool. Yeah, very funny. It's good. It's just a great fantasy story. And yeah, it's worth checking out. It's very culty though.
I know everyone's like, you should have seen it. And I haven't.
It's one of those ones like, oh, he's in The Princess Bride. That happened to me so much before I went and watched it. And it's like, you haven't seen The Princess Bride?
I think. Like, no, I haven't. I think not. Too, because it wasn't one from our childhood. We don't have that same appreciation as people that it's a cult, like, it, you know, it's has
their,
a cult.
It's their cult classic, especially kids film. Like, you know, it's not mine. But weirdly enough, the next one is?
Yeah, I haven't seen this one.
The Monty Python and the Holy Grail I've from seen 1975.
Parts of, I think the only Monty Python film I've watched in full is Life of Brian.
Life of Brian. Everyone's either seen that, Life of Brian or Meaning of Life.
Yeah.
But the Holy Grail, oh my God. I had this on VHS as a kid.
Is this the one that they do the coconut?
Yes, it
I've
is.
I've seen that scene, yes. I've seen
an
parts
African
of.
Swallow. More like a European swallow.
There you go. The Knight this is cool. Look at him go.
It's great. I've seen this probably because it was one of the only like VHSs I had. I had like five. I didn't have too many. And this was one of them. So whenever I was at like, you know, weekends at home or like school holidays and you're bored and you don't have anything to do, chuck on a VHS. So this I've seen a few times.
Did your parents love this? Is that why they bought
it? Yeah, they got it. And they were like, I think it's one of Dad's favorites. So he picked it up and he knew it was okay for kids. So he was like, yeah, it's fine. And he's like, check it out. It's pretty good. And I watched it and I was like, yeah. I think this is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's like the Knights of the Round Table and King Arthur, and they're trying to find basically the Holy Grail, but it's the Monty Python. It's classic Monty Python kind of like storyline where it's just skit after skit after skit built into a story. It's worth checking. I love it. It's so good.
I should watch it.
It's
some
very
point.
Culty, but fun. It's dated. It looks dated, but it's good.
I mean, I watched Life of Brian. I enjoyed that. So.
Maybe it looked dated because I was watching on VHS and that's how I remember it. I'm like,
everything's super fuzzy.
Why is there so many grainy lines? Please rewind.
It was like straight for the TV. Like, why is the scene missing?
Yeah, scene missing.
We fast forwarded the ads. Anyway, anyone that's younger than me won't
know what that means. Please rewind. Be kind, rewind.
Yes.
That was the thing when, Clerks, I haven't seen yet.
I think I tried watching this once and I watched like 10 minutes and...
I'm just gonna watch all three.
I'm not in the mood, and I think that was it. You but be like in the mood. This, Mallrats, like it was all the time.
Yeah, Clerks 2, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma.
There you go.
Silent Bob and Jay's Strike Back. They're all in the same universe.
Okay. Yep. That's making sense to me now that I'm thinking about the covers.
They are all in the same.
Like, well, that's cool. I guess that makes the cult thing.
Yeah. That, like, so that relevant. those particular films have a huge cult following. They're all involved. I'm pretty sure Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are a part of a bunch of the films. Like, they're involved.
Oh, probably.
Kevin Smith, obviously, is Silent Bob. So they're all friends, I think, from around that era. And they just, like, created these films. I just haven't seen that many. I've seen Mallrats. I really liked it. It's just about a bunch of different teenagers at different times in a shopping center.
Yep. They're more rats.
Literally. Yeah. It's great. I think it has Shannon Doherty in that one as well. I
think so. Yeah.
From memory. I like them.
I mean.
Grunge teen. Yeah. It's great.
Different vibe, but very much culty. One of your favorites, The Breakfast Club.
Don't you forget about me.
I mean.
I love this film.
Pretty much anything John Hughes.
Yeah, that also.
And Brad Packy had like a cult because it was just so of that.
Yeah, you bought into the actors.
Yeah.
You bought into the style of John Hughes. So that's why you wanted to see it.
I didn't see this movie until I was like...
Older?
I think I watched it when I was about 15. I didn't get it. I didn't understand the genius of it.
Do you now?
Oh, yeah. Like immediately, I think I watched it maybe 2 or 3 years after that because I went, I need to give this a second chance.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like completely different viewing experience. Yeah, I was so like, good. Oh, I completely understand why this is genius. Yeah. But that first viewing, I don't know, wrong time, wrong place, maybe.
I've seen it a couple of times. I watched it pretty young as well. I think I was about 15 when I watched it the first time. I think it was just on TV one time.
It's such
I was
a
at
good
home.
Film.
I was mean, like, I love this. And I watched it a few more times. I'm like, I relate to this.
The ending still pisses me off for some of the characters. No, his was fine.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole like mega, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Weird.
But I like it. It's a journey. It's a journey for each of them.
It's and so it kind much of fun. Makes sense. I always quote, which people don't even notice sometimes. And I'm like, God, guys, it's a breakfast. I'm not club. Quoting something obscure.
It's a breakfast.
I'm always
club.
Just like, screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
No one gets that.
So good.
The soundtrack's phenomenal.
Oh my God.
So good.
So good.
Yeah. Simple Minds. Geniuses. Very culty. Next one's The Craft. This is your vessel.
Oh, I
tell
love
me
The
about
Craft.
It.
I watched this as a teenager. I'm not even sure why I stumbled upon it. Like, I'm not sure what got me there, but I remember watching it and I was like, yes.
Yes. The vibes.
This
yes.
is. Yes.
Is this the one where she knocks on the window and she's like, do you want me to kill them? Or am I thinking of something else? I think it is The Craft.
It might be. Is it Nancy?
Yeah.
Nancy's nuts.
Yeah, she's the nuts one. Yeah. She's like knocking. She's like, kill them?
Yeah, it's such like a, it's such a of the time, like
oh,
the 90s.
It's so incredibly
they tried to remake
90s.
It and I didn't even go
the
near
the legacy
it.
One?
Yeah, yeah nah. No. Kaylee Spaney apparently, like,
she's
in it.
It.
Like,
yeah.
Good cast, but yeah. Just.
It's one of her first roles.
You
I
know,
think.
These girls that are witches and one turns up in town and they're like, we need a fourth
yep.
because of witchcraft.
Needs four.
You yep. need four. And.
All hell's breaks loose.
They just
that.
Kind of, yeah, like they're picked on and so yep. they just start getting revenge, but then it comes back to them because, again, that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. That's another cult trope. I guess it's
yeah.
outsidering.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, oh, you're an outsider, you know, yep. find your people.
Find your people, find
yeah.
your tribe.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the whole, like,
literally
most of
the point.
Cult
yeah.
things are like.
Find your people.
Yeah, it finds people and then. Yeah.
Things happen.
They're the reason it does well. It's not because it did
yeah.
well
yeah.
commercially. Like, I don't know. I just like it. I like 90s vibes.
I love 90s
and
vibes.
And this is like
this is
quintessential 90s vibes.
Tell me about your viewing of The Crow.
I watched this last night.
Yeah.
I think I tuned back into the back half more than the first half.
Yeah.
For no reason other than it was like 8:30 and I was so early and I was falling asleep.
You weren't.
And I was yeah. like.
You're trying.
I must.
You're
must
trying.
Do this. I must see this film. I must get it.
Must.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't think, and it's hard when it's like one of those films that everyone talks about for so long and then you watch it and you're like.
The well, hype in your head.
You're like, this is.
Everyone talking about it a certain
this
way.
It's good. There's like nothing wrong with it. Like it's not bad and I like at any point, but it's just, it was fine in my opinion. Like good, but not.
I think like you said earlier, I think the
didn't
fact
didn't blow
that,
my mind.
Brandon Lee obviously was killed on set
yep.
During the filming of this film. Probably created it's in itself a cult
yeah.
situation, but adding on top of that the fact that it's a very gothic emo
oh,
film
yeah.
as well of the time,
mm-hmm.
just created that immediate cult status.
Oh, you can tell like watching it who this is going to be for.
100%.
Like
yeah,
undoubtedly it's.
I love the yeah. vibes. I absolutely
oh, it's
love the vibes.
Amazing. Because they wanted to make it, the director whose name escapes me wanted to make it in black and white,
mm.
like the comic.
Yeah, because it is based
told,
on a comic.
Told
yes.
he couldn't. So that's why it
it's
almost
is, but not. It's
yeah.
very dark. Yeah, it's very dark in a lot of scenes.
And moody. And
but it has a level of camp.
Oh, it does.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it does. Yeah.
I mean, just the face makeup that
yeah,
he does.
That he constantly
and
does.
And his like real tight leather getup.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like superhero.
But even the villain,
but
the main villain with the long hair, mm-hmm. Pantene Pro-V guy,
yeah.
is very camp.
Yeah.
It's a very camp take on this comic book.
I mean, most of these films, like we brought it up before, we're going to bring it up again. There is so much camp in all of these. Like even like one that I watched forever ago, like Harold and Maude from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
That's campy because it's this kid that's like trying to kill himself. Like for fun, like he fakes his death and his mum walks in and he's like, oh, like it's exhibitionism.
It's very morbid, but like
but
in a comical way.
It's a comical way. Like yeah. Camp That Butter My Cheerleader is yeah. only camp and yeah. it's been like that image is like from that film have just been like used over and over again. I mean, you've
yeah.
got RuPaul
literally
pretending to be like converted, like gay
yeah.
converted, wearing like the tiniest blue because it's all like color coded like you know, blues for boys and pinks for girls. He's in these tiny, tiny little blue, like dark blue shorts with the tiniest blue crop
yeah.
top that says straight is great on it.
It's very,
it's just
like, it's created this iconic status to it.
Yeah, yeah just reused, like
yeah.
Death Becomes Her just got put in the Sabrina Carpenter music video.
Yes, yes
that's
it did.
That's camp.
Super camp.
Super camp.
Super camp. Yeah. What American Psycho?
Yeah, that and I want to talk about that in Fight Club sort of in the same
yeah,
breath.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
not so much camp, but definitely like satire.
Oh, yeah. Which, well, Fight Club, yeah, yeah. Absolutely, because of the Vulcan and stuff. And
even, I guess, American Psycho to a degree.
Yeah, yeah. I love that film.
It's where they're good.
Handing out all the
Business cards.
Business cards. And it's like, oh, you've got corrugated cardboard or whatever.
Yeah, have. Like, yeah. Come on. Come on, boys. Yeah. That, like, their films as well that I think the poor people that made them, again, it's satire, so they had very... They had one intention.
Clear vision of what they wanted,
which was
to
like
do with
making
it.
Yep. fun of people, but the very people that they're making fun of kind of took ownership of it.
Yeah.
So sometimes
they did, didn't they?
Sometimes cult can backfire.
It definitely did.
Yeah. Which
unfortunately, you know. Yeah, those type of like Andrew Tate type people use American Psycho as like a guideline.
Yeah.
Not so much the killing, but like the attitude in an office and stuff, and like I'm you know, he looks alpha. At him, looks at himself in the mirror when he's having sex kind of situation like that. Yeah, it's definitely backfired because it's like, no, they're actually making fun of those kind of people.
Guys, this was not supposed to be aspirational. No, what have we done?
You've taken this the wrong way. Next one is Pulp Fiction, but we did talk about Tarantino before being basically nearly any one of his films is a cult.
It was sort of
film,
just
especially the 90s ones.
Yeah, high like violence and graphic. And,
yeah, that's why he has the following because the love of the graphic violence that he puts into his films.
And I mean, Tarantino himself, like while quite illiterate, if you've read any of his scripts, bless him.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Have you read the scripts?
I haven't read the scripts, I like the film.
You've watched the film, you haven't read them.
No, I know.
But like he was a lover of cinema, so so much of his
and you
stuff
can tell
is
he does.
Homage to other things. So of course... cinema fanatics and fanboys especially.
So many people trying to emulate him now.
Oh, absolutely. But then it's funny because he kind of tried to emulate the guy that did Natural Born Killers. Like he wrote it, but the style was exactly. very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Particular,
kind of what he's always been trying to
That'd be a cult
strive
film
to.
As well.
Yeah, actually that one's
We've
dark.
Got to write that down, but we have seen it. It's very dark.
Yeah.
It's very dark. I want to see.
She nearly didn't get rolled after that. It was Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis and. Everyone was like...
Because she was coming out the back of like a lot of like teen films and that. And then obviously
Isn't
she's gone...
Isn't she in the Christmas Lampoon?
She is in the Christmas Lampoon. Mm-hmm. She's the daughter.
Yeah.
So she's been coming from that into like Natural Born Killers.
And no one... Because again, Satanic Panic was huge until... Oh, it's kind of back, but in a different way. But yeah, like they're like, no. How much is acting? How much is not?
Yeah. What are you capable of?
What is... Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it for me this week.
Yeah, I mean...
There's yet again, there's plenty more, and it's not the most definitive list because, you know, there's no like, hey, this is a cult film, this isn't.
Yeah.
So but they're I the ones that we think. Probably.
These are like the big ones, especially the big ones we've actually seen.
Yeah.
But if you've got like a cult film that we haven't mentioned, please like let us know. I'm always up for more films.
Yeah.
I want people to tell me why they're good so then I have like a personal reason
to go into
to watch
it.
I hate when people go, oh, you have to watch this film.
Why?
And you go, why? And they go, you just have to. I can't believe you haven't seen it. I was like, no, tell me why I personally
need to see it.
Feel like I should see this film.
Yeah.
So yeah, get in touch with us. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at BingeLists, or you can email us at BingeLists and boxofficehits@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this one. I quite enjoyed actually making this and
getting into
the cult films.
They're some of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So thanks so much for listening and we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.